celebration. Some are nodding and some are shaking their heads. The announcements that you need to know are in the following. There's a financial update there for the congregation members to take a look at. There's a profile and profile of this guest preacher for next Sunday there and on the green sheet, and title and text for his message next Sunday. Noted in there also for the kids camp and vacation Bible school on July 22nd, 24th. Please read that and speak to Michelle if you're able to help out during those 3 days. And just a note there that the church office will be closed for the next few days, but we open on Friday this week. So kids, who's having a birthday tomorrow? Canada, right. July 1st. So we're going to start our time together with singing O Canada. Are you ready?
We'll just stand and sing it.
You're a cappella.
We're acapellaing O Canada. I'll start the song.
Well, I'll step back from the mic.
Okay, is that what we're doing? Everybody stand, please. Gathering in the sight of God, and what that will mean for all of us. And it's not entirely related, but I wanted to share a story that I heard last night because I thought it was kind of interesting. I was watching this show about what happened during the terrorist attacks from 2001, 9/11. And all of the planes that had to be grounded when they shut down all of the airspace across North America. I'm sure you all know that story and remember where you were when that happened. But the show was about Gander, Newfoundland, and the 30 plus planes and 5,000 plus people that landed there out of nowhere, literally dropped from the sky, is how they put it. And the town itself is only 8,000 or 9,000 people. So they doubled their population in the matter of a day. And so obviously there was this great scramble and to find food, shelter, all sorts of things. But there was one story in particular that kind of caught my attention. And it was from the Baptist pastor in Gander, Newfoundland. So they opened their doors, they opened their church to help a group of people. And a lot of the people that were stranded there didn't speak English. And from what they said, nobody in Gander, Newfoundland, spoke really any other languages. In this particular example, this large group of people from Moldova landed there, and in Moldova they apparently speak Russian, and nobody spoke English. So here they were in this church, Baptist church, in this group of people where you've got this different station set up for them to find clothes and food and blankets and whatnot. And then this group of people trying to figure out how do we communicate? How do we figure out how to tell these people that we're here to help them, that they don't need to be scared, that, you know, that we're gonna take care of them? And the pastor noticed that one of the people had a Russian Bible. And so he opened up his Bible and showed it to the person, to one of the people, and he flipped it to Philippians, where it says, don't be anxious, you know, God's gonna take care of things. And it just so happens that the people turned their Bible to Philippians and they showed the same passage, and that's how they communicated for 5 days. Was flipping through their Bibles, finding, you know, relevant passages that they could communicate their messages and how they needed to and what they needed to, or what they wanted to say to each other. And that just really struck me, and I just thought, wow, what an amazing way for God to use those people and to use his word to share. And to this day, those people still, you know, communicate, and a lot of relationships were built because of that. So out of that seemingly great tragedy, God used it. So I just wanted to share that story because I thought it was pretty interesting. So here we are in the presence of our great Lord and Savior. We're here to worship and celebrate, commemorate. I'm going to read Psalm 145. This is David's song of praise. And David had been through quite a lot of stuff, good, the bad, and the ugly, I guess you could call it. But still he praised. I lift you high in praise, my God, O my King, and I bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs of your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger, is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does is suffused with grace. So we're going to start some songs this morning. We're going to start with some songs this morning. They are going to be some new ones for those of you who have been to CBC or have come on a regular basis. These are two new songs. They're relatively easy. So if you know it, please sing loud, but you'll catch on easy. So let's stand as we open our time of worship this morning. And we're in this beautiful place with all these wonderful people and the beautiful sunshine. And our God is great, and we're here to worship him. Applaud you, God. Your holy people bless you. They talk about the glories of your rule. They explain over your splendor, letting the world know of your power for good, the lavish splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom eternal. You never get voted out of office. God always does what he says and is gracious in everything he does. God gives a hand to those down on their luck, gives a fresh start to those ready to quit. All eyes are on you, expectant. You give them their meals on time. Generous to a fault, you lavish your favor on all creatures. Everything God does is right. The trademark on all his works is love. God's there, listening for all who pray, for all who pray and mean it. He does what's best for those who fear him, hears them call out, and saves them. God sticks by all who love him, but it's all over for those who don't. My mouth is filled with God's praise. Let everything living bless him, bless his holy name from now to eternity. We're going to continue singing. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for everyone who is gathered here today. We're here to remember and pay tribute and commemorate a milestone for Pastor Keith. We just pray that you would touch both him and Annette as they transition into this new phase of their lives.
Mama.
Lord, we love you and we just give you all the honor and glory and praise. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be present among us here today.
Good morning. What? Why are we here today? Because I'm retiring, eh? Why am I retiring? Thank you, Jodie. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. But just so you know, you're not the only one here who thinks that. There is someone here who actually did tell me one day that I was past my best before date. Yes, I'm retiring. So there's a big change coming in my life and Nana's life and in the family's life because I'm going to be retired. It's a big change in someone's life when that happens. Is there any big changes going on in your life?
I'm going to be an intermediate next year.
What about you? Anything changing? You're not going into a new grade next year? Who's going into a new grade next year? All of you. All of you are going to have a change, right? Be a new teacher. Well, the ones that are going into senior kindergarten, you're going to school next year. Are you excited about that? That's a big change, isn't it? Yeah? Here's the thing, life is full of changes. But there's one constant in all those changes, is God is with us all the time. So no matter what change is going on in your life, no matter what's happening, God is always there with you to guide you and give you advice. Hi, Ravish. Are you going into a new grade next year? What grade are you going to?
Russia.
You're going to Russia next year for school. Okay. Mum and Dad, did you know that? Ravish is going to Russia next year. Now, you're going to have a movie downstairs for the kids that want to go down. If you want to go downstairs, they're going to put a movie on for you. So let me pray with you first, all of you. Father God, we give you thanks for these wonderful children, beautiful children. Lord, we also give you thanks for their homes and their families and their parents. Lord, bless them. Be present in their homes, be present in their families, and Lord, be present in their hearts. Guide and protect them this day and all their days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song. It's called Logos, which means the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. That's when I'm supposed to stop. Now I'm going to read verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Oh,
Thank you. That's great. Let us once again just still our minds and our hearts. Let's leave behind the concerns of last week or the anticipation of the week ahead and just be in the moment and be present with our Lord. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us, to our families, to our congregations. Lord, we pray that your faithfulness to us will be reflected in our faithfulness to you. And as we find our way in this world through all of our different stages of life, we always look to you as our guide and our light. Show us the right path. Lord, forgive us for those times when we have erred astray and done our own thing. But Lord, we thank you again for bringing us back to your truth, to your way. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to guide each one of us, to teach us the way to know. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to me these 9.5 years here at Christian Baptist. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of this congregation, the leaders, the new people, the deacons, the board, the admin people, all faithfully doing their work for your kingdom's work. And Lord, we know that you will be faithful in the years ahead. So we ask your blessing again. In Jesus' name. Does anybody have any of their own prayer requests? Well, that's part of what we do. If you're a visitor here, we ask people to book our prayer requests and we share that and we pray for that situation. Ron. Do you want me to pray for that, or would you like to pray for that? I'll pray for that. Thank you, Robert. Thank you so much. Lord, I just pray for myself and Annette and Barry and Jane and Don and Molly, who are here today, as we head out on our wonderful trip tomorrow. Lord, I pray for safety in the air, safety on the sea. Lord, a wonderful time in all those major European cities that we'll be visiting in the next few weeks. Lord, bless us and keep us safe and bring us home safely to our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Anyone else with a prayer request? All right. 10,000 reasons. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3, if you want to find that in your scriptures or your Bibles. I want to give a little bit of background on King Solomon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we read this, that Solomon had been up to worship God and offer sacrifices, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. That's quite an open invitation from God to say to you, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. Solomon's answer was, give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, this is your heart's desire, you've not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, or the death of your enemies, and you've not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, over whom I have made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you, ever had, and none after you will have. And this is confirmed in 1 Kings chapter 4, where it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man. Even today, Solomon is known as the wisest man who ever lived. But for a wise man, towards the end of his life, he turned from worshipping God. He had, I don't understand how a wise man could get to this situation, but he had 700 wives. And that these wives followed pagan gods, and they drew Solomon away from serving the Lord that he knew he worshipped in his younger years, and who had granted him that one wish to give him the wisdom and insight to govern, and he turned away. And in his old age, he penned this book of Ecclesiastes. And it opens like this. This is the opening verse of Ecclesiastes. This is an old man, been a king, been a very successful king, very wise. It says, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. In verse 8 he says, all things are wearisome, more than anyone can say. That's quite an opening statement. It makes you not want to put the book down, right? It really grabs you. Solomon, what's going on here? This is the words of a man, an older man, who's not found contentment. This life of Solomon seems to be filled with unsatisfying distractions. In chapter 2, he lists all the things he has tried. He's tried pleasure, that proved meaningless. He tried laughter, that was foolishness. He tried wine and folly. He attempted great projects, building houses for himself and vineyards. He amassed a fortune in gold and silver. And at the end of it, he called it all a chasing after the wind. Sad, isn't it? He's not a happy camper, is our soul at the end of his life. But when we get to chapter 3, it seems like Solomon's thoughts begin to settle down. He's taking a longer perspective. He's reflecting on the reality that everything has a right time and a right place. That God does have a plan, and he does have a purpose. And while we might often be frustrated and despair of our role and our position in God's plan, but if you take a look in the rearview mirror, and this is something Annette and I do quite often, so take a look in the rearview mirror and you see the hand of God in our lives, bringing us to this place, the stepping stones, the decisions that were made, the decisions that were not made, that bring us to the place and time. For God's purpose. There's no happenstance, there's no chance, there's no luck, there's no coincidences. God has a plan. God has a timetable. God has a purpose. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. Time to be born. Time to die. Time to plant. Time to uproot. Time to kill. A time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What does the world gain from its toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, this is the gift of God. From the wisest man ever lived. After all the pessimism and lament of chapters 1 and 2, Solomon, in his God-given wisdom, begins to sum it up and reflects on it. Behind all of our striving and fretting and worrying and the seeking of pleasure and material benefits, there is God's perfect timing and God's perfect purpose for everything. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. But it's God's time, and it's God's purpose. Throughout the scripture, we pick up on this idea of God's timing as being quite important, pertinent to the stories. In Esther, the story of Esther, it was God who orchestrated Esther to be the wife of the king at the right time. Because there was a plot to kill off all the Jews. And Mordecai says to Esther, who knows that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this? God's perfect timing, God's perfect purpose with that young woman in the palace to prevent the slaughter of the Jews. In Galatians 4:4, Paul writes, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. When the time had fully come, no chance, no happenstance, very precisely chosen time. And in John chapter 7 and chapter 8, well, Jesus is doing his ministry, and the Pharisees are getting upset with him. They tried to seize him. But twice in those chapters it says, but no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. There was a time for Jesus to go to the cross, and this is not it. So they were unable to operate. Then that wonderful story of the wedding feast at Cana in John chapter 2. Mary turns to Jesus and says, they've run out of wine. And my translation says that Jesus said, Mom, it's not my time. Jesus had a timetable, God had a timetable that Jesus was operating on. Luke 9:15, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. At the right time, all these events started to unfold. And in John 13, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. God's timing for God's purposes. And how often are we finding ourselves in a hurry, chasing after the wrong goals, and our lives become fraught with daily frustrations? We try this and we try that, and the satisfaction we seek is never found. We strive, yet contentment evades us, because we're not on God's timetable. we haven't rested in God's purposes and God's timetable. Solomon, recognizing that everything has a proper time, and says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything beautiful in its time. And that phrase means that there's a beautiful sense of fulfillment and contentment when we do things at the right time and at the right purpose. Since God has ordained these things, it's in God's timing and it's in God's purpose. And it's beautiful, and the rhythm of life is ordered by God's design. And we don't step outside of God's design. There's a right time, there's a right purpose for everything. And this key word throughout that passage of chapter 3 is time, time, time. Unfortunately, we humans, we want answers now. We want it now. It's a famous prayer, Lord, give me patience. Give it to me now. The season of waiting on the Lord's word is not something we relish as humans. I don't think there's anybody here who would say, no, I'm very patient in my prayer life. No, we want God to answer our prayers. God's timing is perfect. God's purpose is perfect, and it's beautiful when we wait for God's timing. And in God's timing, everything will be seen as beautiful. It will be seen as correct, so right, just so fulfilled. That if we rush the season, or we rush the journey, or we walk away from the situation, we'll miss the beautiful fulfillment of God's purposes. Now you, congregation of Christian Baptist Church, you're going to enter into a time of waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Don't be impatient. Don't fret. Don't worry. God is not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry, nor is he slow. He already knows the future plans. He has for this congregation. Anybody here doubt that? Not he already knows. Jeremiah 29, when Jesus is speaking, God is speaking to the nation of Israel, he says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. I'm going to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We can take that verse. And we can turn it right around and say, God knows Christian Baptist Church. He has plans for you. He has a hope for you, a future for you. God is faithful. We look up behind me, to your left, flag of Canada. God's faithfulness for 152 years in this country. I would suggest that we as people are not as faithful, but God is faithful. We're in some dark and difficult times right now, as a faithful in Canada. But God is not faithful. But if you look up in the other man, 197 years, God has been faithful to this congregation. Generations long past have worshipped him. There's been a building on this site since at least the 1850s. There's a big triangular sign at the back above the front door. It says Christian Chapel, 1856. Is God faithful? Is God going to be faithful tomorrow, after your pastor has retired? Yes. Of course he is. Of course. He's already lining up the next pastor. Think about that. That pastor is out there. God knows his or her name. God knows his or her skin color. Think about that. Could be from someone, different part of the world, God's under. He knows what accent they have, or they could be like me and not have an accent. Your task is for you to be equally faithful. Your task is to enter this period together as a united congregation during this period of discernment, patiently seeking the Lord, and finding the Lord's time and the Lord's timetable. And the end result will be beautiful in its time. The end result will be so perfect, so wonderful, and such a blessing that God will pour out from you. Isaiah 43 says, "See, I'm doing a new thing, now it springs up, but do you not perceive it?" To perceive something, you have to be looking for it. You have to be anticipating it. So with excitement and joy, you should be entering this next season of congregational life, working with the Spirit, seeking God's will, doing your due diligence, going through the processes that we laid out, and excitedly expecting a new season of life with a new pastor. And remember, God's timing is perfect. Just so you know, in the pastoral search process, I was chair of the search committee back in Uxbridge when we were looking for the youth pastor. And we ended up with Tim Teagle. But we went through the process twice. We got all the way to the end of the first process. And after the last interview with the last candidate, we said we would all go home and pray about it. And when by the time I got home that night, there was an email from the candidate saying, "I'm withdrawing from the candidacy." And we'd spent months looking at resumes, interviewing people. God's timing was, it's not this candidate. And so we patiently went through the process again. And God brought us Tim Teagle, who you guys all know. And it was a wonderful youth pastor, about 10 minutes or so. God's timing, and it was beautiful. It was a perfect fit. So be patient. God is faithful. You be faithful. We have an expression, don't we, that we've been using a lot in the last little while. What is it? God's goddess. God's goddess. Thanks, Dan. God's goddess. God is faithful. Let us pray. Lord, you have been faithful. You are a faithful God. It's us that's not faithful. It's us that worry and fret. It's us that try to rush the season, rush the process. Lord, pour out an extra measure of patience and trust on this congregation. Lord, fill their hearts with joy for the next season of congregational life together, that it will be filled with joy, that you have that candidate, that new pastor already being prepared. And so will we pray for him or her, whoever it is, even now, as they anticipate your call to them to minister at Christian Baptist Church. Lord, pour out your blessing and patience on him or her and on this congregation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's Tannis here. Now, Tannis gave me an envelope and said, "Pastor Keith, open after your sermon, then join us downstairs." Did she mean after the sermon or after the benediction? After the benediction, pardon me, my last executive decision.
Pastor Keith, sorry.
I think we're taking over now.
I just want to make an announcement before you close.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming today. It's been a wonderful service. And we just want to invite you downstairs. We're going to have a celebration for Pastor Keith and Annette with a little celebration. It's a surprise. So please, everybody, come down. We're going to have cake, we're going to have food, and we're going to pray over you, Pastor Keith and Annette. Okay?
as you go from here to party time, but when you leave, go with great confidence in your heart that God is faithful. In all areas and all times of your life, in all situations, God is faithful. Let the joy of the Lord in your heart shine out to your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your community, your school, wherever you are. Shine such that people will say, what is it with you? And then you can tell they have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Go in peace. Amen. Amen. Apparently I have to open this. I've already had a sneak peek.
Uh-huh.
It's just like a sash, is it? Like
yes. I think you should put it on your pillow.
It goes over. It goes in the chair.
I just want to thank the greatest team today for their music.
We can help. Sorry. We can help put it on.
We can help. There should be a hat.
Oh,
wait. Like Miss Congeniality.
We're an old man.
Yep.
What
was that about the praise team? What?
Well, I was about to thank you, but just thank you for your music today. Thank you for your music every Sunday and the way we work together to bring the right worship music for our congregation. It's been a blessing. It's been a real blessing.
We'll miss your non-singing.
You'll miss my non-singing?
Yeah.